Do you feel that you know what it means to be born again? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This plain, simple statement is classic. You find it in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, and no matter where the Christian gospel is preached, this is something that is known. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The new birth is one of the principal cardinal doctrines of the gospel. Now, this passage we're going to study, the first 13 verses of the third chapter of John's gospel, is very meaningful, and I think that we can get the meaning of it best if I just read and comment on it as we go along. So if you have your Bibles and we'll open them, you'll enjoy this, and you'll get more from it if we just go along in this fashion. The third chapter of John's gospel, and beginning to read at the first verse, and I'll draw your attention to some of the meanings that we have here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A very simple statement has a number of things of importance in it. When it says that he was a man of the Pharisees, it means he was a man who was committed to that group of Jews who held to the Scriptures as the Word of God. The Pharisees were people who really believed in the Bible, and this man was one of those. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, when it speaks of him being as a ruler of the Jews, it's quite possible that he was a member of the council known as the Sanhedrin. So, in a way, you might call that the Supreme Court of the Jews. And because he was one of the judges, or one of the Supreme Court members, you might say, a member of the Sanhedrin, he was spoken of as a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Many people have referred to this in various ways, and generally suggesting that this was a man who came in a sort of sneaky fashion because he came at night. I think perhaps that his coming at night was not so much that he was furtive as it was that he was cautious. And then also perhaps practical. Perhaps the matter of coming at night would mean that he would have time for a conversation that he couldn't have if he'd come in the daytime, had just enough sense to know that he could have an uninterrupted time of conference with the Lord Jesus at night like he couldn't have in the daytime. However, whatever you say about it, you may remember this, that there's evidence from elsewhere in the other Gospels and other parts of this Gospel that Nicodemus remained a secret believer. He was a real believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we say that he did not confess Christ openly because he feared the Jews. Well, this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his statement we see something of a tribute to the life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived when he says, "Rabbi," and calling him Rabbi simply means calling him teacher, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." I want you to pause there and look at that for a moment, because I have a feeling that we have a way of certifying our teachers on something else. I have a feeling that we go to a certain extent by the training a man has had, the schools to which he has gone, or perhaps we're even impressed, so far as our leaders are concerned, by the fine talks that they can make. But I want you to notice that when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, he didn't say, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God because we've looked into your school. We know where you've gone to school. Or we've looked into your background. Or we have looked into your writings and what you have said. We've listened to what you've said and we've been impressed by it." That's not what he said. He said, "No man can do the things, the works which thou doest, except God be with him." And this lays emphasis upon this, that the credentials for authority are actual capacity for service. The man that has the power to act is the man that you're going to have to look twice at, because it would indicate he's got something. And by the way, here we see another reason for the miracles which the Lord Jesus performed, because those miracles taught their own story. Anybody who could perform those miracles must have some relation to the world outside, to the invisible world. And this man actually had. So he said to him, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the works that thou doest except God be with him." But he never does ask right out what it is that he wants to know. But the Lord Jesus picks it up. And in the answer the Lord Jesus Christ gives, you have an answer spoken to an unspoken question. An answer given to an unspoken question. I think there are many, many times people come to church and never really admit what they're coming for. Sometimes they may not even know. Or there are people that start reading the Bible without actually really knowing what it is that they're actually seeking to find. In any case, this person came with a question in his heart, and the Lord Jesus saw the question and began to answer it. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They evidently, Nicodemus, wanted to know, how do you do it? How does one become the kind of a person that you're talking about and that you're demonstrating? The Lord Jesus meets him right at the door and says, I'm sorry, but actually there's no possible way of getting into what I've got except by being born again. And he used this language in this way. Now, when you have the reaction of Nicodemus, you have the reaction of a skeptical person, but a materially minded person, and it could be a very honest answer. And listen, I don't think he was making fun of it. I think this is actually what came to his mind. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is a way of raising a question about that phrase, being born again. And he says that, can you actually have it happen in this way? And he sketches the unbelief that he has in the material world. He actually describes the situation as if he was thinking in terms of the physical. And this is what he had in mind. And this is the way he expresses it in verse 4, the physical world. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now in verse 5, there are a number of things about this, but I can't help but notice how the Lord Jesus answered him. I want you to notice there was no argument. He didn't show Nicodemus where he was wrong. He simply didn't pay attention to it. He gave a plain, blunt assertion. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There it is. Before he had said, be born again, here he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now these two phrases, water and Spirit, I'm going to propose to you that they are symbols of referring to two kinds of preaching, each of which is legitimate, each of which has its part to play. Water, I think, is the preaching of John the Baptist, and the Spirit, I think, is the preaching and teaching of Jesus of Nazareth. And the general response you have in this, when he says you must be born again of water and of the Spirit, that if you were responding to the message of John the Baptist, you would repent. John the Baptist spoke about sin, and he told us we should repent of it. The Lord Jesus spoke about life in God and about the Spirit of God, and for that you should believe. You could say, when you say here, born of water and of the Spirit, you could put, except a person actually passes through repentance and faith, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's got to take the teaching of John the Baptist and repent, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe what God has offered, and then he can have it. This kingdom of God, which is the relationship of living obedience to God. Having said this, in verse 6, he quotes a general axiom. Doesn't require any special insight, doesn't require any special revelation. Everybody would know that this is true, but it should be applied here. When he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, of course, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, yes. And if you want to acknowledge that there is flesh and there is spirit, there is that which can be seen and handled, and there is that which can't be seen and can't be handled, as soon as you recognize that, then you're going to be ready and able to understand that if a person were going to enter into the will of God, you would need to enter in according to the flesh, which is what you actually can feel, and according to the spirit, which is you can actually believe. And for the one you need repentance, for the other you need faith, in order that you may enter into the kingdom of God, which is a relationship of being obedient to him at all times. Now in verses 7 and 8, the Lord Jesus almost gives Nicodemus a sort of warning. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, and thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This is giving to Nicodemus, as it were, a chance to understand why, humanly speaking, he found it so difficult to grasp the gospel. But he was told, grasp it, just take it like it says. You must be born again. And then went on to say, you'll never understand it, you won't see it humanly speaking, but it actually is true. Then you come to verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And that's always the last question of the materialistic mind. The last question that a natural person asks when you bring to him spiritual things. How can you do it? Now notice verse 10. And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And if you recognize it, you'll see right away it was no answer. He had no argument. In effect, he says to him, you ought to know. You ought to know. Who was he? A man who knew the scriptures? A man who knew the Old Testament? A man who knew the works of God? He ought to know about this thing. And then the Lord Jesus went on to say, we speak that we do know and testify that you have seen, that we have seen, you receive not our witness. Goes on to say, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And this is a way of saying that with reference to beginning the Christian life, with reference to beginning the spiritual life, with reference to entering into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must have a new nature in which the spiritual dimension is actually real. Just keep that in mind. You and I need to remember the things of God in heaven at all times. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we hear these things and think these things. Help us to understand them and to commit ourselves to them. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.